This is the Early Edition Podcast with Phil Johnson on AM1150.ca and across the Bell Talk Radio Network.
Well, we are still all about money on the backside of the federal finance minister's budget that came down the other day in the House of Commons. I'm still having a hard time finding anybody who really thinks that Justin Trudeau and his finance minister really have a handle on what is going on in Ottawa, and a lot of questions are being asked about the spending plans of the Liberal government. Melissa Lantzman is the deputy conservative leader, and she thought, we thought, that it would be nice if we could spend a little time in her company, get her take on the budget that has come down. Ms. Lantzman, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
If I'm hearing anything, the one thing that seems to have really grabbed a bunch of people is the increase in taxes, the capital gains tax increasing, and a lot of people just saying that if you're gonna do this, meaning government, it is going to attach a huge tax liability to the Canadians that are coming behind, if you will. I can't find anybody who seems to think that this this boost in tax it makes any sense whatsoever.
Well, you're not going to find her here. I don't particularly like this budget, and I also haven't met a Canadian that does, because after 8 years, nine consecutive budgets, it's more of the same that got us into this mess. So we see now that the Prime Minister hasn't stopped the inflationary deficits that are driving up those interest rates that we all pay. He didn't stop endangering our social programs and our jobs by adding more and more debt. And for 8 years, the Prime Minister told Canadians that the rich would pay for the cost of spending, but we all know that it's everyday Canadians that have been the ones that have had to pay, with higher housing prices, with higher gas prices, with higher home heating bills. Whatever Justin Trudeau says, it won't be him or his billion-dollar friends who are going to pay for this new spending. It's going to be you.
Well, I was struck by this turn of phrase that this is a budget that is going to deliver some, and I think that he used the phrase, generational fairness. we're going to be fairer to the younger people, and more to the point than they launch into the spending programs. We're going to build more homes faster. We're going to make life cost less, and so on. But talk to me about the amount of money that they've decided that they're going to direct towards the construction of homes, the kinds of numbers of homes. How do we achieve that? I think it's a safe thing for the Prime Minister to say, you know, we're putting this many billions of dollars on the table to build more homes. How do we do that? Because in my corner of the world, right here in the heartland of British Columbia, we don't have the plumbers that we desperately need to build the houses that we're already trying to construct. We don't have the plumbers, the pipe fitters, the framers, the concrete finishers, and so on. We have such a dearth of trades in this country. So you can put all the money you want on the table, and you can make all the flowery phrases that you want about building more homes, but it takes real, honest-to-God men and women sweating after a hard day's work and blisters on their fingers.
Well, that, and they're feeling the effects of all of the spending over the last 8 years that has put them further and further behind. Look, Justin Trudeau didn't just get here. He's not a bystander to this crisis. He promised a big solutions on housing as early as, 2017. And you can't just come to the party today and say, we're going to fix the crisis that we created. You have to remember, in this country, since he's been prime minister, the housing price has doubled. The price of rent has doubled. The price of a mortgage payment has doubled. And in my neck of the woods, it used to take you 25 years to pay down a mortgage, and now it takes you more than 25 years to actually save for a down payment. So this year's budget of fancy promises and big numbers, that's the same old inflationary spending for photo ops. We have a housing accelerator fund, $4 billion. And the housing minister himself, Justin Trudeau's housing minister, who you might remember as his failed immigration minister, who lost count of a million people. He said himself, this has not resulted in a single home built. So I think the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and believing that it will change.
Okay. I got to come to you with this, though, because I find myself looking at that. I have people who phone my radio show, young people who've been desperately trying to save enough for the downstroke. But as hard as they work to save and set aside, the cost of the home, the price of homes, eclipses anything that their downstroke might have delivered. And I've actually had people say, we've given up, Phil. We're going to take the money. We're going to buy a nice car and we're going to go on a vacation.
I hear that all the time.
Yeah, I've given up. I'm never going to get what I need to make the downstroke. You know,
how do you trust the arsonist that started the fire to all of a sudden come in and put it out? This is the same government. You know, back before this government, the price of rent was affordable. It is half of what it is today. That's in your neck of the woods and in mine, the two most expensive housing markets in the world, not just in Canada, in the world. Vancouver's number three, Toronto's number 10, and young people cannot get into a home. But this isn't going to fix it.
Okay, so here I've got to jump in here. Effectively, are we coming to the conclusion, are we willing to admit that concept, that idea, that somehow young people deserve to have a new home? Are those days done? Has the ability of this country to deliver on that dream, if you will, is gone?
No, of course not. I wouldn't do this job if I thought it was gone. I think that young people should be able to afford a nice home in a safe neighborhood, to be able to make decisions about how they want to raise their family. That's the Canada that my parents came to. That's the Canada that many people's grandparents came to. That's the Canada that we had before Justin Trudeau. I will say this, life wasn't like this 9 years ago before Justin Trudeau. And the only thing that's coming to an end is his tenure as prime minister, and life will not be like this after. There is hope on the horizon for young people, for seniors, for the welders and the single mothers who are paying for this guy's inflationary spending.
Yeah, I'm not going to agree with everything that you say, but I'm certainly right there in the canoe with you when you start paddling and basically saying, Phil, recognize Justin Trudeau has been the prime minister of this country for 8 years. He's had more than enough time available to him to make some changes and get some things done, and he's failed miserably at all turns.
Well, Phil, paddle faster, because we're going to have a carbon tax election where you can decide on a government that's going to put more money in your pocket versus a government that has, over the last 8 years, taken more and more from you, so it's harder for you to live. That government's coming, so stay tuned.
Okay, so can we spend a little time and talk about Canada's abysmal performance relative to our commitments to NATO? I'm a son of veterans who fought in the war. I'm a son of families that have some connections to the military, and I am absolutely disgusted how Justin Trudeau flaps his gums, makes all these statements, tries to make it look like Canada is holding its own. As a matter of fact, sometimes we've even arrived to rescue NATO. Well, the reality is that we should hang our heads in shame with how we've failed to meet our NATO obligations.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And the men and women who serve in uniform in our country are visiting food banks. They're paying for their own helmets. And
isn't that incredible? When you say that, is that they some of them are actually purchasing their own equipment because what's available to them through the Canadian Forces, they don't feel safe.
It's unfathomable. It's unfathomable that we got to this position. Look, we're going to try to get to that 2%, and we're going to make sure that we cut off some of that foreign funding and start putting it into our military, fix our procurement system so that we are buying, buying things off the shelf at the best price, on budget and on time, so that we can put the equipment in the hands of the men and women who serve this country every day, and pay respects to people like your folks, and the ones in your direct circle who have served this country and feel proud about it. I'm hopeful about a future for our military, and I think we've got to make them a warrior force again.
I wonder. I just I'd love to hear those words from you, because I'm embarrassed for Canada. I recognize in everything that comes across my desk that sometimes I speak to how the world has turned away from Canada. There was a time when I'm sure world leaders making decisions would say, well, let's check in with so-and-so, whoever the leader of Canada would be at the time, to get their opinion, because Canada's opinion mattered. Today, Canada's opinion does not matter. We are left behind by much of the world, who look at us, and I'm sure tut, shake their head, and fondly, I think, look back to a time when Canada was standing shoulder to shoulder with the world. We no longer do so, and I could go on. I won't. Let's change the subject, okay?
We will do that. We will get back to that with Kira Polyev as our prime minister.
Okay, so listen, can you do me a favor? I'm begging for more time in your company, but I've got to take a quick break. Can we put you on hold and then come back to you?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Early Edition Podcast with Phil Johnson on AM1150.ca and across the Bell Talk Radio Network.
Got a couple more minutes of conversation, and so enjoying the connect with Melissa Lansman. She's the Deputy Conservative Leader, also the MP representing Thornhill, Ontario. And just taking a couple of moments to wander through some of the provisions of the budget that was just presented by Justin Trudeau. I want to take just one more minute, if I could, and I'm sorry to be rolling the clock back into the capital gains thing. And effectively, how do we deal with the reality is that money is always on the move. And if you don't treat money well, and you don't give it a chance to develop and grow, it will pick up and it will leave and go elsewhere. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm seeing so many voices that are expressing concern about what this budget has done and is going to do to investment capital in this country.
Yeah, well, let's go back to how we got here, and even with this budget, spending has increased over 10% over the next 2 years. Now, that doesn't sound like a big number, but from this year until 2026. The government's financing requirements is grown by 61%. The interest that it's going to pay on the debt will be up to almost 57%. That means we're paying more to service our debt, meaning we're paying more on interest on the debt than we are for healthcare across all provinces.
That number, as you put that on the table, I found so offensive. I didn't realize just how bad it is.
Yeah, you want another one? So in GST, we collect that amount of money. We collect about $54 billion in GST. And so now we're paying $54 billion just on interest on the debt. So that means every single dollar that we are paying for ostensibly goods and services is actually servicing our debt. It's unbelievable. To finance all of this new spending, the government's going to issue more bonds. It will push up interest rates as the Bank of Canada tries to bring them down.
This is the $58 billion that kept coming as money kept being flung out wherever you were going to go. Wherever the prime minister was, there seemed to be all money that was appearing magically. It was $58 billion in new spending, right?
Well, this one was $40 billion in new spending, but now we're spending $54 billion on just debt payments. So that takes us up to $1.3 trillion in debt. Now, those are really, really big numbers, but the point of the matter is that you and I are going to pay for this. It's not going to be the rich guys like Justin Trudeau, who puts his money in a trust fund, or the billionaires that he vacations with that go to tax-free jurisdictions and hide their money. Every single one of us who is, you know, who is working hard, every single mother who is working two jobs, every single, you know, welder and framer and plumber is going to pay more in taxes like they have been. A 23% increase in the carbon tax across the country certainly doesn't help either with the cost of groceries, gas and home heating and everything that you buy.
What's our way out of it? Change government?
Well, that's my idea. We are going to have a carbon tax election, and Canadians will certainly get the choice about whether they want to keep more of their money in their pocket, make more powerful paychecks, and start having some pride on the world stage. We had that conversation about where Canada is. Canada is nowhere, but it can be somewhere. And I have some hope. So when you get into my canoe and paddle really, really hard, because we've got a big mess to get out of.
Ms. Lensman, I'm happy to paddle your boat with you, and I thank you so much for being here this morning. Melissa Lensman is the Deputy Conservative Leader, also the MP for Thornhill, Ontario. We contacted the Conservatives and said, if you got somebody there we can talk to? And the reply was, well, how about Melissa Lensman? We said, we'll take it, and I'm just thrilled that we had the opportunity to speak with her this morning.
This has been the Early Edition Podcast. Catch the Early Edition from 6 to 9 a.m. on AM 1150 and online at am1150.ca.